Good morning and welcome to Occupy the Airwaves. Okay, last week I talked about siege warfare and how it is a favorite of the United States of today, a way of starving people into submission. They're doing it in Venezuela, they're doing it in Syria, they're doing it in Iran. It's one of their favorite things to do. And I said it was going to come home here because the whole thing of, well, you have to have an internal passport in order to access. Right now it's, well, you can't go to a restaurant or you, this, I'm talking about New York City and a few other places, not here yet, but it's coming. But they can't go to gyms, they can't go to bars, they can't go to restaurants, but they can go to some grocery stores. Well, I said it was going to come here, and Noam Chomsky, the famous anti-fascist, came out a few days ago and said he approved of starving people into compliance with the government's dictates. I never thought I'd see Noam Chomsky anarchists say something like that, but this shows how the propaganda has freaked people out so bad. But I didn't realize it's already been done. In India, the lab of neoliberal experimentation, I just found this article in the grayzone.com, which is a very good website, and it's from October 19th, 2021. And it starts out with a little history lesson of what happened in India when they rolled this out 4 years ago. Had nothing to do back then with the pandemic note, because the pandemic is just an excuse. They're using the pandemic as an excuse to put in what they already wanted to put in, a global digital ID system, a total surveillance, total control system. And they're only using this as a way to get it. They wanted it for a long time. Remember the Real ID Act that passed in 2005? Back then, they said it was because of terrorism. But there was pushback in this country, in Illinois, thanks to Mr. White, our Secretary of State. We didn't get it until the feds really tightened the screws. They roll these things out slowly. See, what is it? The wheels of injustice grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. And that's what we're going through right now. But anyhow, this article from thegrayzone.com is called Public Health or Private Wealth? How Digital Vaccine Passports Pave Way for Unprecedented Surveillance Capitalism. The titans of global capitalism are exploiting the COVID-19 crisis to institute social credit style digital ID systems across the West. The death by starvation, Iridra Devi, a 67-year-old widow from the rural Indian state of Jharkhand, might have passed without notice had it not been part of a more widespread trend. Well, I will say that her death passed without notice here. That's for sure. I don't remember talking about this. Like 1.3 billion of her fellow Indians, Devi had been pushed to enroll in a biometric digital ID system called Aadhaar in order to access public services, including her monthly allotment of 25 kilograms of rice. When her fingerprint failed to register with the shoddy system, Devi was denied her food ration. Throughout the course of the following 3 months in 2017, she was repeatedly refused food until she succumbed to hunger alone in her home. They starved her to death because the fingerprint system didn't work. I can't remember what year it was, but they rolled out a medicine, I think it was called DocuMed, a medicine dispensing system in the ER where I used to work. You could no longer just go and get the medicine from the cupboard. You had to sign up to this machine and punched in the drug you wanted, and then it would pop out like a, you know, like a candy bar machine or something. But they wanted everyone to give their fingerprint to access the machine. And I was like, oh no. Oh, heck no. I'm not giving some corporation my fingerprint, but almost everybody else in the ER did because it was sold to them so much easier, so much easier. And again, when I got my nursing license, they didn't have a fingerprint requirement. But by the time the young ones came along, the state made them register their fingerprints like criminals with the state to get their license. Again, they roll out repression slowly, but they roll it out exceedingly fine. See, and then they tell you, people get used to that, and then they tell you, what's the big deal? You gave your fingerprints to get your license. What do you care if you give it to this corporation? And I was like, no, I didn't give my fingerprints to the state. We weren't treated like criminals for wanting to get a job back when I got my license in 1993 here. That came later. They're rolling this out slowly. Anyhow, my point is, it was supposed to be so much easier. That's how they sold it to people, right? But I would sit there in the medicine room and watch the other nurses, like, putting their fingerprint on. Oh, that didn't work. Putting their fingerprint this way, putting their fingerprint this way, wiping off their fingers with alcohol and then trying again. It was not easier. It was faulty. But at least all they weren't getting was drugs. This woman didn't get food. Because, oh, we're going to have a digital ID system of social credit. Then you access it with your fingerprint. Oh, the machine doesn't work. Eh, you starved this month. What? Is this what people really want? Again, this is in 2017, 4 years ago. There was no pandemic. This is an excuse. This is an excuse to roll out what they've been trying to roll out since 2005 here in the U.S., and which Bill Gates has been quoted over and over again as saying, I want the whole world to have a digital ID system, or the whole world to have a digital ID. The system they control. The ID is something you have. Okay, Primari Kumar, a 64-year-old woman, also from Jharkhand, met the same demise as Devi, dying of hunger and exhaustion the same year after the Aadhaar system transferred her pension payments to another person without her permission while cutting off her monthly food rations. And I have heard of that kind of thing coming before where Social Security tells someone you're dead, we're not giving you any more money. And then they're like, no, I'm not dead. See, look at me, here I am, Social Security, hello. Nope, sorry, in our system, you're dead. You know, when you have everything dependent on a glitchy computer system, all kinds of bad things can happen. And even if it works as it's supposed to work, it doesn't work for you, it works for them. That's the point. A similarly cruel fate was reserved for Santashi Kumari, an 11-year-old girl, also from Jharkhand, who reportedly died begging for rice after her family's ration card was canceled because it had not been linked to their Aadhaar digital ID. Sounds like they only rolled it out in that one state, maybe. These three heartrending casualties were among a spate of deaths in rural India in 2017, which came as a direct result of that Aadhaar digital ID system. With over 1 billion Indians in its database, Aadhaar is the largest biometric digital ID program ever constructed. 1 billion people! Have you ever heard of it? No. How about that? Or maybe someone out there has. But I try to pay attention, and I've never heard of this before. I am appalled by this. But I'm not surprised. Modi always lets. He offers up his billion people population as a petri dish, a laboratory to the neoliberals to experiment on. I remember when they just said, oh man, that might have been the same time, actually. I didn't realize it was hooked to a biometric digital ID program. He just said, you know what? Nobody can have cash anymore. Over 20 rupees, I think it was. And 90-something percent of Indians didn't have a credit card. They used cash. So all the cash they had, overnight, Modi decreed that it would be worthless. I do remember that. I don't know if it was the same year, but it was outrageous. I mean, how can you do that? Even doing it in the United States, I find outrageous. Even though most people in the United States, I think, use credit cards now, I prefer to use cash. I would hate it if all of a sudden they're like, oh no, you can't use cash. You have to be hooked up to this system. But that's what's coming, I can see. So it is the biggest biometric digital ID program ever constructed. Besides serving as a portal to government services, it tracks users' movements between cities, their employment status, and purchasing records. It is a de facto social credit system that serves as the key entry port for accessing service in India. And that's what I said last week when I was talking about the siege, the sanctions, this whole internal passport thing they're pushing on us in the name of medical safety, even though they're using a vaccine they've already admitted doesn't work. It doesn't matter because that was only their portal and they're going to push it on people anyhow. So yeah, and I told you you won't be able to buy anything without them knowing. You won't be able to go anywhere. They're going to track your every movement. They're going to listen to your every communication. It is a dictator's dream what they're rolling out. And I think that people should oppose it, especially Americans. We're supposed to have a tradition of freedom. I can't believe how easy it turns out to be that Americans go, freedom. I don't care. I don't like those people over there. They can starve. Having branded Aadhaar's creator, fellow billionaire Nandan Nilekani, as a hero, initiatives backed by tech oligarch Bill Gates have long sought to bring the Aadhaar approach to other countries. With the onset of the COVID-19 crisis, Gates and other mavens of the digital ID industry have an unprecedented opportunity to introduce their programs into the wealthy countries of the global north. Coincidence? Bill Gates is the same one that's been talking about a pandemic all these years. Bill Gates is the one that's been pushing vaccines with his Gavi initiative all these years. So is it a coincidence? And Bill Gates also wants everyone in the world to have a biometric digital ID. Coincidence? Really? Come on now. All three of these things have merged in a perfect storm of opportunity for billionaires. And I'm supposed to think this is a coincidence? For those yearning for an end to pandemic-related restrictions, credential programs certifying their vaccination against COVID-19 have been marketed as the key to reopening the economy and restoring their personal freedom. But the implementation of immunity passports is also accelerating the establishment of a global digital identity infrastructure. And again, how is that personal freedom to be tied into a grid where billionaires control and watch everything you do? Yo, freedom. Yeah. As the military surveillance firm and NATO contractor Thales recently put it, vaccine passports, quote, are a precursor to digital ID wallets, unquote. And as the CEO of iProve, a biometric ID company and Homeland Security contractor, emphasized to Forbes, quote, the evolution of vaccine certificates will actually drive the whole field of digital ID in the future. So therefore, this is not just about COVID. This is about something even bigger, unquote. You think? Well, if you do think, you would know this. For the national security state, digital immunity passports promise unprecedented control over populations wherever such systems are implemented. Anne Kavokian, the former Privacy Commissioner of Ontario, Canada, has described the vaccine passport system already active in her province as, quote, a new inescapable web of surveillance with geolocation data being tracked everywhere, unquote. For tech oligarchs such as Bill Gates and neoliberal institutions such as World Economic Forum, digital ID and digital currency systems have already enabled the extraction of unbelievable profits in the global South, where hundreds of millions of people remain unbanked and therefore outside the sphere of electronic payment systems. Now with grassroots protests building against an exclusionary regime of vaccine passports, the captains of global capitalism are campaigning with more urgency than ever to bring digital ID to the West. For these elite interests, the digitization of immunity passports represent a critical tool in a long-planned economic and political transformation, you think? Across the globe, the certification of a vaccination against COVID-19 is already a requirement to participate in daily life. In Indonesia, COVID-19 vaccines are mandatory, and those who refuse may face fines or be refused access to public services. In Greece, residents must present their passport to work in or enter bars, theaters, and other indoor public spaces. France has similarly required residents to carry a health pass for access to all restaurants, bars, trains, and any venue accommodating more than 50 people, a decision that has stoked widespread protests throughout the country. The socialist French former presidential candidate Jean-Luc Mélenchon has blasted the new restrictions as absurd, unfair, and authoritarian. Italy has mandated its green pass for all workers, threatening them with termination from jobs and suspension of pay. They kicked out Cuomo as the governor of New York. They put in the new woman as governor of New York. And one of the first things she did was fire 70,000 nurses and doctors who worked all during the pandemic for a year and a half. And they were called heroes and people banged pots and pans. And then this year they're terrorists and they got fired. I kind of wonder if that's why they actually got rid of Cuomo. Maybe he wasn't willing to go down quite such a draconian totalitarian path. Maybe. All I know is they got rid of him really quick, put in this woman, and that's one of the first things she did. Italy also requires the pass to use Italian public transit. Scenes of private security over-enforcement of the Green Pass and exclusions of Italy's elderly from vital services have already begun to go viral on social media. And this is a tweet. India's Green Pass in action. An old woman is turned away from medical exams at a hospital because she can't produce her mandatory health passport. These systems inherently discriminate against members of vulnerable groups and encourage private security overreach, as seen here. And then there's a tweet of a rent-a-cop not letting a little old lady through because she doesn't have her papers, please. Again, for Americans who think this is just an American thing, this is a worldwide thing. It's going on all over the world. And unless Americans stand up and protest, it will get worse here. It'll be New York City all over the country if we don't stand up and protest. Restrictions for Lithuanians who are not double vaccinated or unable to demonstrate recent prior infection from COVID-19 represent some of the harshest in the world. And here's the thing. At least in Lithuania, if you've been sick and have natural immunity, they're like, okay, that's just as good as the shot. Except for in America, they're like, no, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have natural immunity, which is far, far better than fake jab immunity. If you have to get a shot anyhow, even if you've already been sick and you've already recovered and you're totally immune. Nope, we don't care because it's not about the immunity. It's about the control. And of course, the profits. In Lithuania, they are banned from restaurants, all non-essential stores, shopping centers, beauty services, libraries, banks, or insurance agencies, universities, inpatient medical care, and train travel. Gubuko Lituva, a self-described Lithuanian father who has refused vaccination, stated on Twitter, "With no COVID pass, my wife and I are banished from society. We have no income, banned from our shopping, can barely exist." And here's a tweet from him. Life under the EU's first strictly enforced COVID pass regime covering all society, Lithuania. Without a pass, you're banned. Shopping, work, eating out. This is the future. Facing countries that impose a COVID pass. EU, US, UK, Australia, Canada. Is this the world you want? Do you really want to go into complete fascism only 75 years after the whole world was horrified by the last fascism? Again, it's almost all new people since 1933 to 1945. But you would think that people brought up in America would show just a little bit more respect for personal freedom. But the propaganda is overwhelming. 4 out of 10 Canadian provinces currently require citizens to show proof of vaccination against COVID to enter indoor public venues like restaurants and theaters. All federal public servants and some other workers must be vaccinated to keep their jobs. Well, that's like here in America, because that's one way. It's a siege warfare. It's a sanction thing. You want to work? You got to submit to the jab. You want to travel, you gotta submit to the draft. But especially with work, people have to work in America to eat. So that is a way, what do you call extortion? It's an extortion. It's a threat. It's a mafia threat. Your money or your life. You have to kind of choose. The government of Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau also requires all air travelers and interprovincial train travelers to be vaccinated. Canada's Alberta province took the measures a step further this September when it announced that those who cannot provide full proof of vaccination will no longer be allowed to socialize indoors in groups of more than 12, which is weird because Alberta is the cowboy province. You would think they wouldn't put up with that. In Israel, meanwhile, only those who have received 3 doses can work or shop indoors and go to restaurants. Citizens who received 2 shots over 6 months ago are now considered unvaccinated. It's like a reset. Both of these resets you're not going to like. You went out and you got your jabs just like a good little girl or boy right when they first opened it up. Oops, reset. Your time is up. Your session has expired. It's time. Now you have to have another one. This rule has consolidated what even the New York Times has deemed a two-tier system for the vaccinated, unvaccinated, raising legal, moral, and ethical questions, unquote. Again, this is Israel. Israel, where Jews were not allowed in Germany or France to go to work or shop indoors or travel. They were stuck in their ghettos and they weren't allowed to go with the other people because they were considered unclean. They spread disease. They spread typhus. They should not be allowed around other people. And now the survivors of the Holocaust are in Israel and they're setting up another apartheid system for Jews. The clean Jews and the unclean Jews. It's unbelievable. I cannot believe what I'm watching. We are goose-stepping towards fascism, and there are so many people, just like in all those old photos you see of everybody raising up their arm in the Heil Hitler salute. That's what you see in America. It just blows my mind. In the U.S., President Joe Biden is moving forward with vaccination requirements wherever he can. Biden, who declared that his patience is wearing thin with unvaccinated Americans, recently announced new federal requirements mandating that about 80 million Americans, including all those who work at companies with more than 100 employees, must either be vaccinated or get tested for COVID weekly, at their own expense, by the way. Biden has also mandated that those working at facilities which receive Medicare or Medicaid must show proof of vaccination to keep their jobs. According to AP, President Biden is considering proof of immunity. Well, of course, you can't prove you're immune if you have a shot. They already know you're not immune if you have a shot. They already say, well, you can still get it and you can still spread it. So how's that immune? That's not immune. They've redefined that word as well as the word vaccine. This is Orwellian, where all the words, it's called newspeak the book 1984, newspeak, where they change all the words, they change the history, and everyone just has to go along with what Big Brother tells them. Anyhow, according to AP, President Biden is considering this proof of the jab for interstate travel, a restriction his former public health advisor Ezekiel Emanuel has clamored for. Ezekiel Emanuel, of course, is Rahm Emanuel's brother, and every bit as Nazi-like as his brother. In the state of Colorado, the UC health system has announced that it will not allow organ transplant to be performed on unvaccinated patients, prompting some to travel to Texas for life-saving procedures. New York City offers a glimpse of the program in store for the rest of the country. The city's Key to New York City requirement, which went into effect September 13th, requires proof of vaccination to work at or attend indoor dining, indoor fitness, and entertainment venues like museums, stadiums, arcades, and theaters. And I think I read that before on this show. And here's Mayor de Blasio. If you want to participate in our society fully, you've got to get vaccinated. New York City is a miraculous place, literally full of wonders. If you're unvaccinated, unfortunately, you will not be able to participate, unquote. Of course, New York City is it's not what it used to be. Because of poverty, how about that? But the same people in charge, who don't care if when you go to New York City, you're stepping around garbage, literal garbage, and also human beings that are sleeping on the sidewalks and over the subway grates because they can't afford to live there. The city doesn't care about that. No, 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 no. But they care about your public health. They care about your public health. The trash is piled up to the streetlights, and they care about your public health. They got people living on the streets that have typhus and typhoid and bubonic plague, or at least they do in LA. I assume they do in New York. I know they have TB in New York again. Do they care about that? No, but they really, really, really care about COVID. That's the one disease they care about. They don't care about any other disease you might get or have, staph or strep or whatever is in those E. coli, whatever's in those piles of garbage, they don't care if you get that. But this one virus, oh boy, they really care about that. That's absurd. Of course they don't care about public health. If they cared about public health, they'd keep the streets clean and they'd give housing to the homeless. That would be just a start if they cared about public health. They're lying. They're lying when they say about public health. And anyone ought to be able to see that. Well, outlets like CNN have referred to vaccine passports as a useful temporary measure. Oh, yeah, it's always temporary. It is increasingly evident that the proof of immunity restrictions imposed on Western populations may not go away anytime soon. And again, I've read that book. From that book, they thought they were free many times. And he pointed out that each rule was just gradually put in. Step A, then step B, then step B, C, then step D. And each one said, oh, we regret this. It's just, we have to do it. It's only temporary. Don't worry, it'll stop. And it never did until the whole society was bombed back into the Stone Age. Australia's New South Wales Ministry of Health, Dr. Carrie Chant, has stated that citizens, quote, need to get used to being vaccinated with COVID vaccines for the future. It will be a regular cycle of vaccination and revaccination, unquote. So you see, this is a profit-making thing as well as a surveillance mechanism. Albert Bourla, CEO of the Pfizer Corporation that has seen its stock skyrocket during the pandemic, you think, remarked that the most likely scenario is coronavirus vaccine shots mandated on an annual basis. Boy, just think of all the money they're going to be making. I mean, they've made billions and billions this year just from the first year of giving everybody two shots. Then they're already up to three shots. And now he's going, oh man, rubbing his hands in glee. We're gonna make you take it. You won't be able to get out of taking it every year. Do you imagine the money they're making? And that's not the only money Pfizer's making. They have a myocarditis drug. And its profits have skyrocketed too. I believe they've gone up 70%. And they have an anti-blood clotting drug, which profits have also skyrocketed. They're making money on both sides. They're making money on selling the jabs to the government. And then they're making money on selling the antidotes for the side effects to the patients. Sweet. One hand washes the other, so to speak. As a February Nature headline read, "The coronavirus is here to stay," or as Dr. Mike Ryan, executive director of the World Health Organization's Health Emergency Program, put it, "It is very, very unlikely that COVID-19 will ever go away." Well, then it's not emergency anymore, is it? If it's here all the time, it's endemic, not pandemic. So they got to make up their story. Oh, wait, they don't have to get their story straight because they can tell people anything in the mighty Wurlitzer propaganda and people will swallow it. Unbelievable. Eradicating this virus right now from the world is a lot like trying to plan the construction of a stepping stone pathway to the moon, said Michael Osterholm, an epidemiologist at the University of Minnesota, Minneapolis. It's unrealistic. This is our life from now in waves, Israel's coronavirus czar, Salman Zarqa, acknowledged. Already, Zarqa has prepared plans to mandate a fourth dose for Israelis. Again, they went through the Holocaust, and now they're going through another apartheid system set up in Israel, the place where they were supposed to go to be safe from this kind of thing. Unbelievable. While state-mandated treadmill boosters may seem unappealing to many, if not outright hellish, for others, the nightmare presents the opportunity of a lifetime. As early as May 2020, only 7 weeks after the pandemic was declared, U.S. tech billionaire Bill Gates predicted that, quote, "Eventually, we will have some digital certificates to show who has recovered or been tested recently, or when we have a vaccine, who has received it," unquote. So again, even Bill Gates in 2020 was saying, well, if you've recovered, you'll get the pass. But what they found out they use social media to watch Americans. And what they found out is Americans are gullible. Americans are submissive. Americans will fall for anything. So Bill Gates last year said, we'll have the digital certificates to show who has recovered. And this year he's like, everybody gets it. We don't care. We've already found out. We already know. You're suckers. We can push this on you, and there ain't nobody going to stop us because the vast majority of Americans are just willing servants of empire. When the European Union opened up to foreign tourists this summer, it introduced a digital COVID certificate which granted entry to those vaccinated against COVID, those who have had a negative test, or those who were recently recovered from an infection. Its proposed digital green certificate has been branded as a means to facilitate safe, free movement inside the EU during the pandemic. The government of France is partnering with a biometric technology company called IDMIA to make it easier for citizens to prove their identity and complete online transactions using a smartphone, unquote. You see that? No more talk about the virus there, because you certainly don't need to be vaccinated to sit at your own computer in your own house with no one around you and complete an online transaction. Now, do you? But they're pushing. They're pushing. And as long as people go along with it, that's what you're going to get. The new app will enable French citizens to place their national electronic ID cards on the back of their smartphones and have their identity instantly confirmed. IDMIA is also helping France certify travelers' immunity data with their health travel pass suite. Okay, well, that is as far as I can go. TheGrayZone.com and it's called Health, Wealth, Private, Public Health or Private Wealth. Again, this is from October 19th. They did do a second one, and I didn't even get time to finish this one, but I think I'll probably come back to this next week. In the meantime, stand up for everyone's rights and don't let them do this to you, because it'd be worse than Nazi Germany because it's all on computer. All right, that's the end of Occupy. See you next week.